I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the challenge of being a black prosecutor. And as Tell Me More turns one, we check in with some of the people who made an impression on us throughout the year. Today, Holly Adams Sherman. She visited with us a few months after her daughter was killed in the Virginia Tech shooting last year, and we're going to ask her how she's doing a year later. But first, more on the Sean Bell story. He was the young man killed by New York City police on the eve of his wedding in November 2006. Officers fired 50 shots at Bell and his companions as they were leaving his bachelor party. The young men were later found to be unarmed. On Friday, three detectives were cleared of all charges in the shooting in a non-jury trial, sparking relief in some, outrage in others. Joining us once again for perspective on the Sean Bell case is Brian Lehrer. He hosts the Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC in New York, and he's been following the case closely. Welcome back. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Michelle.
Brian, on Friday, our NPR reporter who was at the courthouse described a very emotional response inside the courtroom and outside the courtroom. What about the rest of the weekend?
Well, not many people took to the streets to protest this verdict. Reverend Al Sharpton seems to be planning a kind of sleeper reaction with less of a spontaneous outburst, more of a planned massive day of citywide civil disobedience. He says he'll schedule it for some time in the next 2 weeks. There are questions being raised in some of the newspapers here this morning about why more people didn't take to the streets this weekend. And there are various theories, you know, that the city is different, that the administration is different, the police commissioner and the current mayor, Michael Bloomberg, are seen as responsive to the African-American community, unlike Mayor Giuliani at the time that Amadou Diallo was killed. So, you know, either times really are different in New York City, or the response will be kind of slower and kind of more meticulous.
Well, speaking of that, the Reverend Al Sharpton, who's been advising the Bell family, particularly, I think, Bell's fiancée, Nicole Paltry, had this to say. We have a short clip of what he had to say over the weekend. Let's play it.
I think that we saw today what some of us expected. What they will get is not what they expected. They expect us to react in traditional ways. They will not get that. We are going to react. We are going to react in a methodical and serious way. Tomorrow we will start taking names of people that are, we are going to engage in economic withdrawals. We're going to engage in nonviolent civil disobedience.
And when he says that people expect us to react in traditional ways, what do you think he meant? I mean, was there some anxiety that there would be street protests or what?
Well, street protests aren't much the source of anxiety anymore. You know, the traditional anxiety maybe he was referring to, it was violence. But I don't think anybody in New York really expected violence. There wasn't violence after the Amadou Diallo shooting and acquittals of the police. And, you know, arguably that was a bigger outrage. This case was not the most racially charged case. Two of the three officers charged are black. And I mentioned the good reputation of the police commissioner and the mayor. Also, the situation here was more murky with the judge ruling that the police were the defendants, but they kind of tried to make the victims the defendants. And, you know, one of them did apparently, according to testimony, say he was going to get a gun. And the judge ruled that that led to reasonable fear on the part of the police officers that that they were in danger. So, you know, all of this made this case maybe not so different. Or maybe rather different, I should say, than the Amadou Diallo case. But look, people haven't rioted in New York, you know, in around forever now. So I don't think there was ever any reasonable fear that people would do that.
What has the mayor said? I mean, you mentioned that the mayor himself raised some question at the beginning of this process, right after the shooting occurred, that, you know, perhaps this is something that should be investigated, which is a very different response than former Mayor Rudy Giuliani had in prior incidents like this. What did he say after the verdict, and what have other city officials been saying, if anything?
Well, mostly they've been saying that they have to respect the law, respect the judge's decision. They respected the fact that they didn't expect people to become violent, that the community is sophisticated in that respect. But I think that, you know, when you talk about the question of accountability, an innocent man is dead and a police department acted incompetently. We should mention that the judge basically ruled from the bench that there was incompetence here, but he said incompetence is not criminal. But incompetence, at the very least, has to be judged. The police department has to be held accountable, and there is more to go. And officials, Michelle, have been trying to emphasize that. There's a multimillion-dollar civil suit that's been filed against the city. It's much easier to prove, and with the entire police department, not just the shooters, being responsible. The police department itself will investigate the officers. And the U.S. Justice Department could still bring civil rights charges against the officers. So accountability may yet come, but in a different form that may or may not feel like justice as much to the families. But those are some of the things that have really been talked about this weekend.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're talking about the acquittal of three New York City police detectives and the shooting death of Sean Bell. And our guest is WNYC host Brian Lara. He hosts his own show. Brian, what have your callers had a chance to weigh in on this? This happened, what, Friday morning? And what are they saying?
It happened Friday morning before our show went on the air. And I think that reactions, at least on first blush, ran along traditional lines. There is racial division when it comes to cases like this. I think white people in general tend to give the police more of the benefit of the doubt. Black people tend to react more from the experience of, oh, my God, this has happened yet again, that an innocent young African-American has been shot by police. So, you know, on first blush, the reactions run along racial lines and run along the lines that you would expect. So that's part of what I'm seeing. One of the big things that civil rights leaders want from this is a policy change, a permanent special prosecutor for cases where police officers are charged. The feeling is that the county DAs just have too much conflict of interest. They need the cooperation of the cops every day, so they might be timid in cases like this. And in fact, the prosecution in this case, this has been one of the dynamics here, did not always look like it was out to win. It called witnesses who helped the defense. It refused to go for criminally negligent homicide, which might have been a more winnable case. I'm not a lawyer, but I wondered why they didn't go for some kind of criminal negligence charge to try to tie the incompetence to the shooting with accountability.
What about New York Governor David Patterson? He is a lawyer himself, and he's also New York's first African-American governor. Has he been asked to comment on this? Does anybody know where he is on this? In fact, I think he was very outspoken after the Amadou Diallo shooting in 1999. He was in a different job then.
Correct. And he said it was, you know, the right thing for him to do then as a state senator representing Harlem to go get arrested in support of Amadou Diallo as an act of civil disobedience. He said it would not be the proper thing for him to do as governor. But he's going to have a lot to say about the issue that I just raised, which is the permanent special prosecutor for cases where police officers are charged. You would think that David Patterson, with his background, would be sympathetic to creating such an office. I don't think he has the power to do it by himself. Probably it would have to go through the legislature, but his voice would be significant in this. So far, he's reserving judgment. He recently ascended to the governorship. He's trying to be the governor of all the people, and so he says that he's taking this under consideration. But I think this is going to be a very important thing to watch now. Will Governor Patterson come out for a permanent special prosecutor to ease the potential conflict of interest that DAs might have when they prosecute cases where police officers are charged?
Where would the special prosecutor come from? I mean, couldn't you achieve the same result by moving these cases out of the community, trying them somewhere else?
Well, there are pros and cons to moving the cases out of the community from the community's perspective. Remember, the Amadou Diallo shooting trial was moved to Albany, the state capital, which has a very different racial makeup. It's much more white than the borough of the Bronx where that shooting took place. So that doesn't necessarily, you know, accrue to the interest of the community if that interest is holding police as accountable as possible. The special prosecutor would probably be appointed by the governor.
And is the, I guess, is the working assumption that that would be a person outside of the jurisdiction of the officers then being prosecuted? It would be, you know, some sort of an outside force, somebody who does not work with these particular, that particular department on a day-to-day basis. Is that the working idea?
Yeah, that's the assumption. I mean, the DA in this case, Richard Brown, has a good reputation, but he made some very interesting statements after the verdict that indicated to me, anyway, that he never believed the officers committed a crime. The DA said he had to let a grand jury decide whether to indict and not make that decision himself. But the implication of that, to my ear, was that he never thought there was a winnable case here. And and to, you know, to if you draw that to its logical conclusion, maybe they didn't argue the case in a way that reflected a belief that they could or should win it.
Oh, man, a lot of issues here to be continued. Brian Lara is host of The Brian Lara Show. He joined us from WNYC in New York. Brian, thank you so much.
You're welcome.